Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. We're talking about all of the things that come with Gulf summer. Rain every day. That's what we're going to be expecting for the next little while. High night temperatures, low day temperatures, because it's going to stay cloudy a lot. Day temperatures are going to stay right around the upper 80s, right around 90. There won't be many days when it gets much above 90, because as soon as it does, it's going to start to rain, which is going to dampen temperatures. It's a really interesting time of year. But all of this rain, and all the rain we've been having, even before we get to the rainiest part of the year, all of this rain has produced a lot of mosquitoes this year. A lot of people are complaining about them. They seem really bad. Oh, I had somebody on my porch the other day, and I was thinking, oh, you know, the mosquitoes are going to be out. I didn't have the fans turned on, and we were sitting there, and oh, they had bare legs, and I thought, oh, man, I know those mosquitoes are eating them alive. And finally, they didn't want to talk about it, and I was trying not to interrupt the conversation and acknowledge what was the problem. Mosquitoes were there. Big problem, mosquitoes. How do we deal with mosquitoes? Well, we talked a little bit about it. Don't be lulled into thinking about that you're going to find some kind of animal or creature that's going to eat adult mosquitoes. That doesn't work at all. It's not birds. It's not bats. It's not possums. Doesn't work. The best way to control mosquitoes is when they're young, is before they have wings, when they're in pools of water, when they're wigglers. There are lots of ways of doing that. You call me if you've missed any of this. We'll talk a little bit about how to deal with the wigglers in your yard. The other way of doing it is just to dump out the water that mosquitoes need to breed. And it's not, the water doesn't have to be deep. I mean, it doesn't have to be an inch deep. Listen, the water, in fact, shallow water that's about an inch deep is probably ideal for mosquito breeding. The shallower the water in many ways, the better it is for mosquitoes, and we can talk about why. All those things are important, but you're still going to have mosquitoes because this is where we are. It's where we live. They're going to be breeding in tree crotches. They're going to be breeding in leaves that are upturned, that don't drain well. Even if you're really meticulous about your yard, you're still going to have mosquitoes. So what do you do about that? A lot of those mosquitoes will actually develop in shrubbery around your house. Well, it's not true. They don't develop there. They just hide out there, and they wait for dusk to come out when it's humid and a little cooler, and they'll just hide out in those shrubs, and they'll come out. So a lot of mosquito control experts have learned that, you know, you can begin to control mosquitoes around people's houses if you can attack those adult mosquitoes. You can at least have some effect if you can attack the adult mosquitoes when they're in the shrubs. And I think it's fair, smart thing to do. It's a smart thing to do. You're not going to get rid of the mosquito source, which is a big problem. And if you've got a lot of mosquitoes, you really need to look at where they're breeding, because that's a big issue. But if you want to control the adults a little bit right around your house, at least temporarily, it's good to look at things like shrubs. Because, I mean, azaleas, any kind of shrub around your house, can harbor mosquitoes. And it doesn't help to get rid of the shrubs, because they'll find some other place that's nice and cool, like under your eaves or under your house. But mosquito control companies know where to look around your house. Places that are shady, places that are cool during the day that the mosquitoes hide out until it reaches the right temperature, and then they begin to come out at dusk and really begin to affect you. What can you do about those places? Well, they're using a lot of chemicals now to control those mosquitoes. And I, you know, you make decisions as you need to based on threats. But let me be clear about these natural chemicals that a lot of companies are using. They're not natural. And even if they are, they still do things that are that they do things to other creatures besides mosquitoes, including yourself. One of the most common chemicals used right now, and let's talk about it frankly, because it's a chemical I understand very well. I was one of the I used it probably before you did, because it was back when it was first introduced as a chemical in cotton, long before people were using it in their houses. I was calling down the crop dusters to spray this on cotton back when I was a teenager. Boy, it's a dangerous job to have. These are pyrethroids. And a lot of companies that use pyrethroids now claim that these are based on natural chemicals. So it's Charlie, are we still okay? We're still good. Yeah.
Go ahead, Bill.
So when we're using these pesticides, remember that they're not natural. The pyrethroids are not natural. They're in fact derived from a natural product, but so is everything. So is everything. And pyrethroids are safer than a lot of chemicals we once used for humans, but they still have big effects. So if you're spraying with pyrethroids around your house, you're having a big impact on bees. You know, we're having this story about how everybody needs to save the bees. Well, those pyrethroids have a huge impact on bee populations around your house. We're still not sure how pyrethroids affect people, but we do know that, in fact, they can affect people in certain occasions. They have a really devastating effect on fish. They're highly toxic to fish. And in fact, some of our favorite fish, like brim, we now know that pyrethroids can really affect those fish. So what do you do? Let me make a suggestion. If you're going to spray your bushes around your house, rather than using the synthetic pyrethroids, they're synthetic. They're entirely synthetic. They're made from oil, from hydrocarbons, from oil out that like the oil they get out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. It's a hydrocarbon, and it lasts a very long time, and that can be a big problem. Instead, I think it's probably safer to use pyrethrins, and a lot of companies will actually still use the old pyrethrins. Pyrethrins are actually chemicals derived directly from flowers, from chrysanthemum flowers. And these pyrethrins, which is what pyrethroids were based on, they're toxic too. They have their own bad effects. They can still be a problem for bees, so you want to spray them carefully at certain times. But the good thing about the pyrethrins is they don't last forever. So your exposure can be limited on those pyrethrins. So use the pyrethrins at key times, but don't use the persistent chemicals. And I think you'll have you can still have good success at controlling mosquitoes around your house. We're going to talk a little bit too, and feel free to give us a call so we can sort all this out. We're going to talk a little bit too about chemicals you can put on your body to control mosquitoes and the difference in those chemicals and how they work. It's an interesting study, an interesting thought. And let's talk a little bit about some of the natural chemicals that we can use to control mosquitoes and how they work, how well they work. It really is a matter of time. How long do they last? But you know what? For a lot of mosquito controls, it doesn't have to last. If it lasts an hour, if it lasts 2 hours, that is most people's exposure. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back from this break. Boy, howdy, Taxman excited, we're gonna be back. We're gonna be talking about a lot of things on the show today. So feel free to give us a call, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. 0106. And I've got some pictures here this morning. We're going to try to identify those. Give us a call.
I ain't going to pick no peas. Because everything's going to funny. You get down. On your bending knees, I ain't going to. I dig no more taters. I decline, I ain't going to pick no peas. Because everything is on the phone, you know you got to go. I'll get down on your bending knee.
My buddy Austin Key from Aero Exterminators back in studio. Summertime's here and the living's stingy and bitey. I think about my backyard. You got fire ants on the ground, you got mosquitoes in the air, and I need Aero.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Mobile is the area for definitely for fire ants, and mosquitoes is almost a year-round problem for us.
Oh, you got to tackle something that's, you know, two different critters out there that are kind of ruining our backyards for us. How do you do that?
Well, we'll create a customized plan specifically for your needs, whether it be our fire ant program or a mosquito program that we can put in place for you.
Okay, so the fire ants take over somebody's backyard. Does Aero have a way to keep them at bay so I can get back out barefooted? Can you get rid of fire ants?
Yes, we can come out and we'll send an evaluator out to take a look at that property and figure out specific areas that we need to treat, and we can take care of the fire ants for you.
All right, so we're going after mosquitoes. We're going after fire ants. How do we get in touch with you?
You can reach us at 888-GO-AERO or aeroexterminators.com.
All right, Austin, so I am planning a family party around that information. Get rid of those fire ants. Get rid of those mosquitoes.
Absolutely. We've got a 100% satisfaction guarantee.
We all know someone who believes their plants are more than, well, just plants. They feed, water them, they talk to them, even name them.
Perk up, Fred. Fred, wake up.
People who love their plants just seem to get a certain something from helping them grow. Non-plant people don't really understand, but Cecil Christenberry and all the folks at Old Time Feed in Fairhope understand your plants and your lawn and have the expertise you need to keep your plants thriving. Old Time Feed has been in the nursery, feed, and seed business since man landed on the moon. So buy the highest quality plants and get the best advice to make sure you start off with healthy specimens that will brighten up your home and your yard that will thrive in our coastal climate from Old Time Feed. For homeowners, contractors, and yeah, even supplies for home chicken coops, Old Time Feed in Fairhope at Highway 98 and Greeno Road.
The right hire can have such an impact on your business, so it's crucial to make sure that your job post reaches the most qualified candidates, and you could try posting on job boards, but if you do that, do you really know who's going to see the posting? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce, and unlike job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every single day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. And those insights are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. That's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds on LinkedIn. And right now, you can go to linkedin.com/WAVH to get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's linkedin.com/WAVH for your $50 credit. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yeah. Welcome back. It's Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Oh, gosh, we've been talking about a lot of things this morning. I've gotten some pictures from various people and of plants to identify. Johnny, let me start with your plants. Johnny, that lower picture, Johnny down in Grand Bay sent me a couple of pictures. The lower picture with the flowers, that's one of the great, great old plants of the Gulf Coast, and I don't think we think about it enough. It's elderberry. And a lot of us treat it as a bit of a nuisance. But, you know, I have a feeling it can be a very useful plant. It can be very weedy here. Elderberry, good old elderberry. And we actually have a little song on our show we use to celebrate elderberry. I know some of you aren't fond of Elton John, but the old Elton John song, Elderberry Wine. You know, elderberries used to be a great delicacy that people used all the time in both Europe and North America. And you can make great jellies out of elderberries. Elderberry is the lower plant. Johnny, the upper plant, and I'm having a little harder time seeing it, but it looks a lot like a mulberry. And I'm going to say, well, at least the leaves in the center do. Now, it's surrounded by other leaves. But I'm going to say that that is a type of European, Asian, Eurasian mulberry, not one of our native mulberries. Maybe the white mulberry or Brucinetia. So there it is. So we got it. Let's see. We've got some other pictures. You know, Glenn David, listen, there is a picture you sent me. Somebody described it as a pawpaw. They couldn't be more wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. They're about as wrong as they could possibly be, though. That is not a pawpaw. It doesn't look anything like a pawpaw. It's actually a chinaberry, just like you said. You got it right. It's a chinaberry plant, no question. See how the leaves are compound. Pawpaw has single leaves that are very large and long. Somebody else sent me a picture while they're hiking in North Carolina. No fair. The first picture is because, you know, it greatly expands the possibilities. The first picture you sent me that you're describing as an American beech is not an American beech. It is certainly a type of birch, B-I-R-C-H, not beech, but birch, B-I-R-C-H. And I can't right now tell whether it's river birch or whether it's Betula nigra or Betula lenta, which is winter sweet, was an old tree we used to call winter sweet or sweet birch. So it's either river birch or sweet birch. I can't tell which. The picture above it with the flowers is a little harder to figure it out, but it looks to me like that is a tongue oil tree. Even in the Carolinas, there's tongue oil trees there. I'll take a look at that a little better as time goes on and see what I can figure out to make sure that's what I'm looking at. So you can send me pictures. That's the cool thing about this show. It's a radio, I know. But you can send me pictures. And you can send me pictures, and I can look at those pictures, and I can help you identify plants. It's kind of a fun thing to do. All you have to do to send me those pictures is to send them. It's to just like you would call in, just take a picture with your phone, and then you text me at this number, 251-343-0106. Text me that picture, and we can begin to sort it out and figure out what it is we're looking at. So isn't that fun? It's simple to do, and that's the way we'll do. Charlie, we don't have any callers right now, do we? Listen, let's talk a little bit, since you're going to give me a chance, and since Taxman has declared this Skeeter Week, Skeeter Week here in Mobile, it's a good time to think about mosquitoes and what to do about them. Let's talk about those kinds of things you put on your body to control insects. It's a pretty important discussion. You know, I don't think we know. You've got a choice from things like DEET and Picardin, which is a new chemical that we don't really know how it works. And then you've got some natural chemicals that you can put on your skin to repel mosquitoes. It's very interesting. You know, there are a lot of things that you can put on your skin that actually do repel mosquitoes to some degree for some period of time. It's just mostly a question of how long do these products work? How persistent are they? And it doesn't matter if you're only going to be outside for an hour. It may not, or if you're going to be going in and out of the water, which a lot of people do, or if you're going to be sweating a lot, it may not matter. Listen to me. It may not matter how long the product lasts. It may not matter that it lasts a long time. So we know that DEET lasts a long time. But if you're coming in and out of the water a lot, or if you're sweating a lot, DEET isn't going to last a long time because you're going to sweat it off. That's one of the problems. So a lot of the things that are the natural repellents actually can work very well. If I'm out in the woods and I'm looking for a mosquito repellent and I want something pretty quick, there's a great old plant we call French mulberry or beauty berry. Calocarpa has a very distinctive odor. It is a very effective insecticide and sometimes or insect repellent. And sometimes in the woods, I've used it. I've actually spread it on my hands or my face or around my collar or actually stuffed leaves around my collar when I thought the mosquitoes were going to drive me crazy. It actually can work very well. It may not last as long as some other things. The juice from it may not last as long, but it can actually be an amazingly good mosquito repellent. Natural thing when you're out in the woods to do it. It can work very well. You may look kind of funny sitting on your porch with beauty berry leaves stuffed in and around your collar. So you may not want to do that on the porch if you're around other people. But there are a lot of other natural, if you feel better doing it, there are a lot of other natural insect repellents. All of lemon eucalyptus is very effective. And it is an incredibly good repellent. How long does it last? No, about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. But you know, if you're out sweating in the garden, if you're swimming, that's about how long anything is going to last before you have to reapply it. Not a bad thing at all. So you can use those repellents and actually feel very good about them. If they prove to be a repellent, don't listen to the stuff that says, oh, this isn't as good because it doesn't last 6 hours. Well, the truth is nothing lasts 6 hours, and it may be the stuff that lasts 6 hours is actually not so good for you. There's some concerns about that. So things to think about when you're using these repellents is there are a lot of fairly natural ones out there that can be very good at repelling mosquitoes. And in fact, I've used a wide variety of things. Some of them don't work at all. There's true. There are some things that don't work at all. And that are natural, and there are some things that work very, very well. And let's be clear about human effects. For a while, people were promoting Skin So Soft as an insect repellent, which is I don't know what Skin So Soft was originally designed to do. I guess the name tells you. And it can work okay. It actually works okay for about 15 minutes, 30 minutes on repelling mosquitoes. But here's the interesting thing about Skin So Soft. The chemicals that are used to make Skin So Soft are just as synthetic and raise as many of the same questions about the chemicals as the stuff you find in DEET. We're not sure, but there is some evidence that the chemicals that are in Skin So Soft may be as potentially harmful and as teratogenic and may be endocrine disruptors, just like the other synthetic chemicals we're worried about. So you just because you've switched from DEET to Skin So Soft doesn't mean you've avoided some of the chemical issues that you may be worried about with DEET. The natural chemicals can also be toxic, but one of the interesting things about natural chemicals are the chemicals that are derived directly from plants is our body has been exposed to these chemicals for a long time. There's nothing novel about them. The body, they have a hard time sneaking around the body's defenses, and they are less likely to confuse the body. So we're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. But feel free to give us a call. What a great song. Give us a call, 251-343-0106.
And their brothers in arms. So it went for Joe. should have been different. It could have been easy. This rain could have saved me. But a country unborn needs bravery. And it spread like wildfire. From the ashes grew sweet liberty, like the seeds of the pines. When the forest burns, they open up to grow and burn again.
This information update brought to you by Truett Insurance and Bonding in Daphne. When you need home, auto, or business insurance, do it with Truett. Call 625-2600 or visit our website, truettinsurance.com. Do it with Truett.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The skies will be partly cloudy across the Gulf Coast today. Look for scattered thunderstorms with temperatures in the upper 80s. Tonight, a few evening thunderstorms, lows in the lower 70s. And for Monday, partly cloudy with a few scattered thunderstorms and high temperatures in the lower 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
Now through June 30th, save big at Mike Ward's Liberty Safes with clearance pricing and instant in-store rebates on all Liberty Colonial, Fat Boy, and Franklin Round Bolt Safe models. Hurry in while supplies last. Plus, get 0% financing and 12 months to pay with approved credit. Remember, Mike Ward's Liberty Safes offers free delivery up to 50 miles and most of all, service after the sale. Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, located at Exit 5B, Moffitt and I-65 in Mobile. Just look for the giant yellow safe, 471-1137.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. I'm Bob, an apartment home at Legacy Oaks, and I'm so excited. My new family is coming by today to get acquainted. I just love having a family to take care of. A lot of folks have been coming in and out, getting me ready, you know, making sure that my gas, fireplace, and oven are ready. It's always cozy when my family gathers around the fireplace. I like to give my family plenty of room so everyone has their own space, but it's always nice when we get together in my large eat-in kitchen. And you know, Mom's gonna love the large bath. It's a great place to relax in a large jacuzzi garden tub. I'll even protect the family vehicles with an attached garage. And some of my second floor brothers and sisters even have private elevators. I'm kind of secluded in a large gated community in Spring Hill on DeRue Drive with lots of green space, but real convenient to shopping, restaurants, healthcare, and minutes from I-65. There's lots more I could tell you about the amenities here at Legacy Oaks. You know, clubhouse, swimming pool, fitness room. But you can find that out for yourself on the interweb at LegacyOaksApartmentHomes.com. Or you can always call Jimmy, she's real nice, and get a tour at 344-8099. Hey, gotta go. My new family's here. I hope I see you soon. Hey, family, welcome home!
You've been through a lot lately, an unforgiving economy that's impacted you both financially and emotionally. At UBS, we understand how you feel. UBS financial advisor Drew Wing can tap into the global resources of UBS and advise you on how to invest in the market while protecting your principal with FDIC insurance. And while Drew has a unique global perspective, he also has a local presence right here in Mobile. You can count on Drew to give you the face-to-face attention you deserve, answer your questions, provide clear direction, and offer advice that's relevant and trustworthy. Global perspective, local presence, protection. Call UBS financial advisor Drew Wing at 251-510-0748. Advice you can trust starts with a conversation. So call 251-510-0748 today. $200,000 minimum account balance. UBS Financial Services, member SIPC.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yeah. So here's the thing. It's Gulf Coast Sunday morning. We're having a good time talking about mosquitoes. At least I hope you're having a good time. We're sort of sorting all this out, thinking about it. If you've got questions about mosquitoes, if you've got questions about plants, feel free to give us a call. I wanted to mention that last song while we're on it. It's called Wildfire, and you know there are a lot of songs called Wildfire, as it turns out. But this is by a group called Mandolin Orange, do kind of a nice bluegrass strain, but kind of a different take on it. Great song. We're going to have to look at the lyrics for that song sometime. It's really an interesting song, beautiful song. Mandolin Orange. song called Wildfire, one of those great songs. And Charlie, you say we got a caller? I'm ready. I'm listening.
I'm having a problem with okra in my garden. It's green and it's really pretty. The leaves are green. Everything is pretty, but I have no okra coming in.
Linda,
what do you think is my problem?
So let's look at it. So the plants look really healthy and they're growing really, really fast, right? Linda,
that's
you there?
That's right.
So that tells me one thing. Let me eliminate a couple of other things. Do you remember what variety of okra you planted?
I think it's that crimson spineless.
Yeah, I see. And do you have this okra in lots and lots of sun? I mean, like all day sunlight.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So here's my suspicion. It may be that it just needs a little bit longer, and it's going to do just fine. It's going to do just fine and start producing flowers. And it probably, under any circumstance, it will. But too much fertilizer in really rich soil can delay flowering of okra. It's just like cotton. Too much rainfall, too much nitrogen. In fact, okra and cotton are actually kind of closely related, believe it or not. Too much nitrogen and too much rainfall can delay flowering and fruiting of okra. So, is it possible? What are you fertilizing with?
Well, it's really my husband that's doing the fertilizing and stuff, but I will tell him about that. But I don't know. I think it's like a 10-10-10 maybe.
Yeah. So it's easy to over-fertilize okra and delay flowering. And okra actually doesn't need a lot of fertilizer. And 10-10-10 is a very hard fertilizer to apply correctly, because what tends to happen, or any fertilizer like that, if it's a packaged regular chemical fertilizer that's not a slow release, it just, boom, it releases all at once. And so you're getting all this nitrogen that's dumped on the plant all at once, and then in 3 weeks it'll be starving again, and at which point it'll start producing flowers. But because you dump so much nitrogen on it at once, it's going to produce all of this foliage, and it's not going to produce any flowers. So my suspicion is that's the bulk of it. But the other factor is this rainfall. If we have a lot of rain, and it's constant, and it's every day, and we have less sunlight than we normally do, compounded by the fact that it just perfect growing conditions for leaves, the okra will spend a lot of time producing leaves and not flowers. But I'm growing okra too. Mine's producing flowers, and it's producing flowers while the plants are still quite small. And even though these are tall plants, it's already producing flowers now. And the plants aren't even, they're not even waist high. They're just above knee high, and they're producing flowers. So what I think that means is that my okra are grown kind of lean. I don't put any fertilizer in when I grow okra. I keep them kind of lean, and in most soils that's okay, particularly if you've got organic matter. If you've got good soil that's got plenty of organic matter in it, that's what good soil is, you shouldn't need much fertilizer with okra at all.
Okay.
And if you use too much, it can delay flowering. Now, what are you going to do about it now? Nothing.
Nothing.
Don't
leaves off of it, maybe?
No.
Okay. Just leave it alone,
fertilize.
I suppose.
Don't fertilize, okay? Just don't fertilize. Quit fertilizing the okra. With this much rainfall, that fertilizer is going to be flushed out of the system pretty quickly anyway.
Yes, okay. I appreciate you telling me all these things. I really like hearing on the radio on Sunday morning. So I appreciate you giving me this advice, and I will pass it on to my husband. How about that?
Yeah. Just tell him to go easy on the fertilizer. And if he has any questions about how much fertilizer to use on different plants, we can talk about it. I don't use 10-10-10 anymore in the garden, and there are a lot of reasons why I don't. So if he wants to call me sometime and we can talk about fertilizers and the best ones to use and why they're effective, tell him to do that sometime. We'll talk about it. All right. Hey, Bob, I'm listening. What's up?
Well, I'm a New York native, and I've listened to you talk about not trying to plant things like we do everywhere else. And I spent 30 years in Arizona, and I've seen a few around here, and I'm wondering, how much can I get away with putting in some cactus? I know a saguaro won't make it.
Well, that's a good question. I was thinking about that the other day. What kind of cactus can we grow? Let's talk about the cactus that I do see a lot of here along the Gulf Coast. We actually have a number of cactus that are native in the Southeast, but they're almost all of them, except for some in South Florida, are almost all of them are in the genus Opuntia, O-P-U-N-T-I-A. Some people call those prickly pears. And there are a lot of different kinds of prickly pear cactus. And the cactus that produces the fruit that we're most likely to eat, have you ever eaten nopalis?
You know, do lots of things with the prickly pear fruit.
Right. So the prickly pear fruit and the pads of prickly pears, which are called nopalis in Spanish, those are actually very growable here. There are a lot of different species, but some of them are very good. And I love the wild nopalis, the wild prickly pears. The fruit on them is quite delicious. You have to know how to prepare the fruit so that you don't get the little spines in your hands, but there's an easy way to do that. And so the Opuntias, if I had to start with saying something in the garden, a cactus in the garden that I was going to grow, it would be that prickly pear group. And some of the natives do very well here. All the natives do very well here, but there are also some cactus from other areas in that prickly pear group that do very well. There are probably some others that can do kind of well here too, but they're going to come from rainier areas and where cactus grow. Is that a help at all?
Yeah. Like I said, I have seen the prickly pear, but I just was kind of looking for what else I could get away with here.
Yeah, well, it would be an interesting experiment. I am not I'm not a cactus expert, as it turns out, but there are a lot of them, and some of them are very interesting. I kind of take a peek at them here and there. I have tried a few here and a number of years back, most of them failed for a lot of reasons. It was very hard to find soil that was drained well enough. They didn't like these high night temperatures all the time, and they just were very prone to rots, both on the stem and in the root system.
Right.
But yeah, prickly pear, very different
kind of here than the dry desert, and you know, I kind of miss having some of the cactus and the citrus as well. There's, you know, nothing like walking out in your backyard and picking breakfast.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we're getting 20 to 30 times more rain per year than 20 to 40 times more rain per year than some of those desert areas. So it is different. And it's very different how plants operate. They're not used to that much water. They're not used to the diseases that can develop when there's a lot of water. One of the things that we don't think about is that water's good for plants, but it's also good for diseases and pests and other things that that feed on the plants. So if a plant is kind of naive to all that, if it grew up in an environment where there aren't a lot of pests and diseases because there's not enough water to support them, and then you bring them to a place like Mobile where there's plenty of water to support them, ooh boy, you get lots of problems.
Right. Yeah. Well, I thank you very much. We'll give it a shot.
Hey, well, listen, as you experiment and you find cactus that do well here, you let me know. Take a look at some of the tropical cactus that are in South Florida. They can be hard to grow outside. And in Central Florida and some from Central America, they may actually do better for us than some of the cactus from North America. All right. Hey, Charlie, so I've only got like half a minute. Have we got time for another caller? Have we got another caller or just need to?
Yeah,
we don't.
Okay, let's go to Kitty. She's got a
Kitty,
question.
I'm listening. What's up?
Oh,
we might have to take a break.
Please. But... you were going to give a remedy for the potato vine. It's a lovely vine with heart-shaped leaves, and I don't mind it, but it's so prolific. It just covers up better than kudzu.
Yeah, so here's the remedy. We need to sit and wait. There's a bug that's recently been introduced, and we're trialing it now in the Mobile area. There's actually a trial going on right now. And this bug is pretty good at just eating the invasive potato vine. It's already been done in Florida. They've had pretty good success. I think we're going to see pretty good success here. I don't think it'll eliminate the potato vine, but it's definitely going to make it sort of not so much of a problem. So there it is. That bug is being introduced right now into Mobile. Isn't that good news?
I like that.
All right.
It's a shame
All
you right. can't eat those ugly tubers.
Yeah, don't do that. They can be a little toxic. They're actually, don't eat them. That's the simple story. I don't need to say anything else. But we'll see fewer of them, I think, as time goes on.
Thank you,
Hey,
Bill.
Charlie, thank you. I guess we better take a break, don't you think? Yeah.
Me and my best friend Lillian and her blue tick hound dog Gideon, sitting on the front porch, cooling in the shed, singing every song the radio played, waiting for the Alabama sun to go down to red dirt girls in a red dirt town. Me and Lillian, just across the line in a little southeast of Meridian. Loved your brother, I remember back when he was fixing up a 49 and in. He told her little sister gonna ride the wind up around the moon and back again. He never got farther than Vietnam. I was standing there with her when the telegram come, but Lily, now he's lying somewhere about a million miles from Meridian.
Important notice, if your property was hit by a hail or windstorm, call Mobile Roofing now, 251-888-0301. Hail and wind can damage your roof, and you need Mobile Roofing to physically inspect it. Mobile Roofing has trained and experienced personnel who can identify actual hail and wind damage. Mobile Roofing will inspect your roof for hail and wind damage and provide you a complete free report so you'll have the information to make the right decision. Don't wait, call right now, 251-888-0301, 251-888-0301.
This is Ronan McSherry from McSherry's Irish Pub and Restaurant in downtown Fairhope, where you can enjoy great food at a great price, meet your mates for a pint and a chat, or dance the night away with our DJ on Friday and Saturday nights starting at 10. Try our brilliant Blarney Burger, unforgettable Irish potato salad, homemade bread pudding, or it is said the best Reuben sandwich this side of the River Shannon. We open at 3 p.m. and close at 2 a.m. Non-smoking inside, but we have a lovely patio with big screen TVs where you can enjoy all sporting events. Every Sunday at 6 in the evening, we have a traditional Irish music session which attracts musicians from New Orleans to Seaside, Florida. Happy hour is 3 to 6 daily, so be sure to check out our website at www.mcsharries.com for specials. Come on down for a wee taste of Ireland at McSharries Irish Pub in Fairhope, Alabama. You can't miss us. We're the ones with the big leprechaun over the door. 101 North Bancroft Street on the Eastern Shore. 990-5100. McSharries Irish Pub.
Business people want to stay in the loop of things when it comes to permits, deeds, bankruptcies, and which companies have purchased business licenses. That's why so many subscribe to the Mobile Record. If this public information is of interest to you, at the click of a mouse on a one-stop site, you should sign up today. To learn more about the Mobile Record and the services it offers, visit our website, themobilerecord.com, or email us at publicrecords@themobilerecord.com. If you're not subscribing, chances are your competition is.
services.
Gulf Coast Tools is open in their new location, still in Foley at the Outdoor Center,
now facing Highway 59.
For a wide selection of name brand and off-brand tools, including Festool, DeWalt, Bosch, and Craig, visit locally owned and operated Gulf Coast Tools. Save time, save money, and get the job done right. Gulf Coast Tools is your local authorized Big Green Egg dealer, offering all sizes and accessories. Stop by their new location today at the Outdoor Center in Foley.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yeah, all right. We've only got a little bit of time left. Let's run through this real quickly as we get ready for Father's Day. I need to go see my dad, and I know you need to go see yours. But let's talk about some questions here real quick. There's a Terry, your tulip tree question. The simple answer, and I'm going to say it real quickly, is to move this tulip tree in fall. Let's get through that, James. You've got a real complicated question here with a lot of different angles. You need to call me back next week and let's talk a little bit more about that. And we'll try to sort that out. And if I missed anybody else this morning, give me a call next week and we'll try to sort it out just a little bit better. David, thanks for the idea about the elderberries. That's interesting. So we got two callers. John first, I'm listening. What's up, John?
Hey, Mr. French, I appreciate you taking my call. I purchased and planted two Owari Satsumas back in March, and the tops are so. Hello.
Hey, Charlie, your mic's on. I think I'm listening.
Okay, so the tops of the Satsumas, you know, I left them staked like they were in the pot for a couple months, and then I took the stakes out. The tops have gotten so heavy that they're almost touching the ground, so I put the stakes back in, and I'm just wondering how long would you normally leave them staked for, or should I cut some of the longer branches back, you know, so it's not so heavy up top?
Simple thing is, let me just, and you call me back next week if this isn't a sufficient answer. Don't stake it. Don't leave a plant staked. It's a big problem. There's special ways to stake a plant. But staking a plant is generally a bad thing once you leave it in the ground. That's a simple answer, particularly if you stake it so that it is rigid. That's not a good thing. You're probably fine. The second thing and the important thing to know is that Satsumas are weeping plants. They always produce foliage that just seems like it's crazy long, but they always sort it out. The nice thing about Satsumas being weeping plants is that the fruit always drops down so that it's right there where you can reach it. It's one of the reasons, I think it's one of the nice things about Satsumas, is that they do produce these long, weeping shoots that always bend over. There's no good way to prune a Satsuma, particularly when it's young. Don't worry about it. It will sort itself out. As long as you can mow around those limbs, just leave them be. Are you okay with doing that?
Hey, I just was concerned about them. Like, one of them in particular has got just one really long kind of gangly limb coming down, and when it's 2 or 3 inches from laying on the ground. But I trust your advice, so, I mean, if that's what
just
mow
around it. What's going to happen is it's going to put up shoots on the inside of that limb that will grow more or less straight up, and then they'll turn over. But they're weeping plants. They just are naturally weeping plants. Yours sounds like it got a little bit extra growth, but it's going to be fine. It would be a problem to prune it at this stage because you want as much growth on that plant going into winter as you possibly can have. So I wouldn't prune it this year. Try to mow around it. As long as it's not falling over, as long as the main stem just isn't falling over, you're fine. Remove the stakes. Don't worry about it. Don't try to make it grow upright. It's a weeping plant.
Okay. And, real quick, do you keep the grass cut back with like a leaf mulch down, or just let the grass grow right up to the trunk of the plant?
It is much better to keep it is necessary to keep the grass from around the plant. And for winter hardiness, you want the grass removed from around that plant as far as you possibly can. Remove the grass out to 3 feet, at least, around the plant. and that plant will not only grow faster and be a lot healthier, it will actually be hardier during winter, and I can tell you why if you'll call me back next week. Remove the grass.
Sounds great. I appreciate the advice. Thanks a lot.
All right. Good, good. Hey, Johnny.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, real quick. The mulberry, the Asian or European mulberry that you pointed to me in my picture said earlier, that will that Asian or European mulberry make mulberries here in this climate?
Well, if it's a white mulberry, and Johnny, I can't tell specifically from this distance, but if it's a white mulberry, yes, it will produce fruit. It's an obnoxious tree. It gets to be very weedy, so just be aware, but it will produce fruit. It will be very hard to gather them. I prefer red mulberry for fruits, but white mulberry will produce fruit. If it's Brucinetia, which is paper mulberry, it will produce fruits, but they're not very good. And so I can't tell right now. Give me a close-up of those leaves front and back next week, and I'll try to tell you which one it is.
All right, I'll do that.
All right, Johnny, you doing okay?
Oh, yes. The orange trees are looking great.
All right, good, good, good. So, boy, howdy, have we been around the world this week. But, you know, we're really talking about mosquitoes. We should talk about ticks just a little bit, too, which is, a lot of people are very concerned about ticks this time of year. They're running into them. Maybe next week we'll talk about those. We're going to go out here. But you call us back next week. Thank you.
My friends, it's Sexton from Sexton Lawn and Landscape back in studio and talking about design. We all have this dream in our head of how our backyard will look when it's perfect for grilling and watching the game and the kids playing. Y'all are doing that every day.
Yeah, we've got a number of designers and a number of professionals taking whatever anyone's dream is, putting the right plant, right place, and implementing a design that's going to work for you.
You know what I love, too, is you share so much out there, and we can watch these kind of designs being built right here in our area on your social media platforms.
Yeah, that's right. I think you called them yard hacks.
Yeah.
We're just trying to put out content and show you what we're doing. So whether you want to do it yourself or you think you might need a professional, we're just trying to be your partner there.
All right. So we want to peek in on y'all's design work. Where do we find you?
You find us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, or you just find us online at sextonlandscapes.com.
All right. Sid Sexton, thanks for your time, and get you over to the house soon because I want to start cooking out.
Okay. We'll be there.
Sexton Lawn and Landscape. Check them out today.